Welcome to Siemens Digital Industry Software podcast series on advanced machine engineering, brought to you by the Siemens Thought Leadership Team. The landscape of industrial machinery and manufacturing is seeing an innovative overhaul of technological advancements. It's a daunting task to design, validate, and manage modern manufacturing and assembly operations to achieve a premium level of quality while optimizing cost. My name is Bill Butcher, and I will be the host of this podcast series. Just a few quick comments on my background. I am currently the marketing leader for the industrial machinery and heavy equipment industries at Siemens Digital Industry Software, and have over 20 years' experience connecting with leaders in technology, helping them to highlight the evolving digital transformation stories that are taking place within our industry. Today, in our first podcast, we are discussing how machine manufacturers are gaining a competitive advantage by implementing a digital thread approach to engineering, which enables the development of highly complex machines faster. We will cover some of the challenges and trends facing machinery manufacturers today, and how these challenges are driving an evolution of technology that is now enabling machine manufacturers with the ability to maximize profits, and also look at the industry trends driving the adoption of this innovative technology. I'm pleased to introduce my special guest, Bill Davis, who is the Director of Industrial Machinery and Heavy Equipment Solutions at Siemens Digital Industry Software. Welcome, Bill, and thank you for taking the time to talk with me today about the Advanced Machine Engineering Solution. Before we dive into the discussion, would you mind giving our listeners just a brief background on your current role?
Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be speaking with you. A little bit about my background. So as you mentioned, I am the director of the Industrial Machinery and Heavy Equipment Solution area, which means I take care of the industrial machinery customers and the heavy equipment customers in that space. So our software is uniquely positioned with capabilities to take advantage of the problems and give our customers solutions that they can't otherwise achieve. And then we also, in that same role, we also help those customers by helping the product improvement process of so the next generation of software is even better than today's version.
Right.
And so in that capacity, what kind of brought me to Siemens is my experience in the industrial machinery and heavy equipment area. Predominantly speaking, my background is in automation, converting, and packaging machinery. I've worked at a number of different companies over the course of my experience of 30 years in engineering and management positions, as well as both engineering and operations. So I've seen both sides of the business, so to speak. I've also had the pleasure to working with a number of very large mining machinery companies in my area where they have unique challenges, but today we'll be talking primarily about industrial machinery, but that experience has also helped shape how I help our customers in our go-to-market strategy. And realistically, throughout all of my experience, I've been the person who's been leading the charge on bringing those companies forward on their digitalization journey, whether it's CAD, PLM, ERP integration, solution simulation, all of those kinds of capabilities. So it's been a great journey.
That's excellent. I think our listeners are really going to enjoy, you know, the wealth of that experience that you just referenced. Before we look ahead, I just want to revisit some of that experience and let's take a look back at the last 10 years. There's been so many changes in the machinery industry, but what would you cite from your perspective, you know, one or two significant technology changes that have shaped the industry in the past decade?
That's a good question. There certainly has been a lot of change. The tools that we use for engineering are certainly different. They've become a lot more capable than they were 10 years ago. There's certainly changes in the industry as well. So to divide this up into two different parts. On the CAD and CAM and simulation capability, there's a lot more core technology around embedding some simulation into the design process. So multi-discipline domain, finite element analysis, computational fluid dynamics, vibration, harshness, that sort of thing, as well as more collaborative, multi-discipline types of design, like the what's so-called the generative design movement, where instead of designing first and then simulating to see where you had problems with the design, you're using the loads and the constraints that are in the design to help shape the net material that you actually need in that part, which helps drive what your design happens to be, even if you're not using some of our technologies around additive manufacturing. And then I guess the third point would be that realistically, there is so much simulation in the product and so much electrification, rather, that it's really difficult and challenging to simulate everything in the machine and try to arrive at what that final product is without having some way of validating the PLC code and the automation code that's in it. So those are some really big changes from the market perspective and as well as the solution products, if you will.
Well, thanks, Bill. I mean, those are great examples of the evolution. And it seemed like most of that focused around technology. Would you say technology has been the biggest catalyst for change in the machinery and industry, or are there other factors that are creating the need for advanced technology solutions as well?
The new technologies that are out there in terms of the capabilities for design engineers are certainly pronounced. All of our competitors, we continue to push the envelope on providing, you know, a more robust tool set for design engineers and automation engineers. But I think one of the things that's really important for our customers and the listeners to understand is this whole idea of consumer-driven customization. We all want our own product. If you've gone shopping on Amazon, you can get what you want when you want it. And so what we're seeing is that in the derivative type of markets, where if I build a machine that makes a product that's used in other products, for example, like cell phone manufacturing is a perfect example. The lifespans are getting shorter of those products. You need to be able to ramp up very quickly with the machine that's going to make that next version of cell phone. So it's a factor that, and there's more variance in that product in terms of the cell phone capability. So, you know, all of the machinery is really impacted by those things, by the consumers and what they're looking for in a new product and how short their attention span is as far as needing something new on a repetitive basis. So it's really changing how dynamic and how adaptive that the machinery has to be to take advantage of that or to react to it. You know, and I think as well, you know, using my manufacturing hat on, when we look at what's going on in manufacturing, this whole movement toward machine learning and artificial intelligence and highly adaptive equipment where it's running itself, and we are able to, as the OEM, we're able to get more information from an analytics capability of what's going on the shop floor in a much more rich fidelity than ever before, and making and letting the machine make some smart decisions, but then giving us the broader capability around it. And that all of that is definitely driving toward really new business models where the machine builder, the OEM, is finding that it's more advantageous for them to be a partner with their customer and provide production as a service, which of course, you know, increases sustainability of that machine and keeps it in service longer, and overall helps drive costs down for the machine builder and for the machinery consumer.
So if I got this right, what you're saying is technology continues to advance and increased expectations on customization from consumers continues to increase complexity and test the limits of those advancements. Which brings me to my next question then, which is about digitalization and more specifically the digital twin. The digital twin is one of the buzzwords that we hear very often these days. Can you, from your perspective, elaborate a bit on the concept of digitalization and more specifically the digital twin in the context of the industrial machinery?
Yeah, I think it's pretty funny that you mentioned digital twin as a buzzword, because I don't think a day goes by in my own inbox where I don't see an email or somebody putting out a piece of material on the digital twin. So I completely agree with you. It's thrown about quite often. So it's good to have this kind of definition. And what we found is that when we look at some of our competitors, their definition of the digital twin kind of matches what their capability is. So you get this limited definition. Now, for us, it's a holistic representation of the physical machine. its performance, and even the recipe for how it's manufactured. So it corresponds to everything mechanical, electrical, hydraulic, fluids, pneumatics, that whole design, all of those design domains, as well as the performance of it in simulation and the automation code, and then extending it into manufacturing and then service life as well. So it takes the machine from the point of origination all the way through to the point where it gets recycled. You know, what we think we need to know what's adopting, you know, why we would want to adopt the digital twin from a machinery standpoint. I think that's a good question. What we're seeing, of course, with the trends that I mentioned earlier is that the machines are getting a lot more complex, and you really need to have that traceability of that serial number machine from the point that you release it from engineering through manufacturing and into service life. So being able to understand all of those different variants in the machine is really an important point about why you need to have a digital twin of each machine that you manufacture. And realistically, what we're seeing is that there's a blurring of lines between mechanical, electrical, and software. So you can't just have a digital twin of the mechanical without representing all those other domains as well. And I guess finally, you know, you really do need to have this most comprehensive digital twin, you know, to really drive value, because so much more of the machinery is becoming driven by software and electrical these days, that if you're absent in those domains, you don't have it. And we, fortunately, in our space, we are able to represent the software that helps our customers manage and maintain and the most comprehensive digital twin.
It seems like from your comments that we now have the technology and tools in place to really drive change and exponentially increase efficiency to help create a true competitive advantage for machine builders and suppliers by delivering machines into the market faster. You've termed the approach advanced machine engineering. Can you help the listeners understand what exactly is advanced machine engineering and what makes it unique from any other approaches machine builders and their suppliers are using today?
Yeah, so advanced machine engineering is a term that we coined several years ago. And it really, at its high level, it marries the development of that digital twin and the collaboration of those domains for developing the machine into a complete solution suite. We're going to really be talking about, first of all, in the multidisciplinary design, you know, the mechanical, electrical, and fluidics all together, and why that's important to have that single source of truth in the design, and also to be able to address the back and forth between those silos that often exist. And second of all, because of all of the software, that automation code that's being developed, you really do need to have some way of doing virtual machine simulation, testing out that PLC code in the virtual world, as opposed to, you know, building it out and then testing it. So you got to be able to prove out that the machine can do what it's designed to do before we start it up on the floor and we break things. And then last, you know, if you roll it all together in the context of the configuration of these different machines, and the fact that whether you subscribe to kind of a platform engineering model or you're building one-offs every time, you have different bills of material, you have different needs for mechanical, electrical, fluids, you have different domains, right? And you need to express that in a bill of material form so you can actually make this. Well, with all of the different configurations of variants that you could possibly build for a customer, you have to have some way of managing it all. And that chaos is one of the biggest sources from an engineering management perspective. That's one of the biggest sources of waste, is looking for the right products, looking for the right equipment, having the right bill of material. It's far more expensive to do the design when you don't know what is all part of the design from all of those different domains and how many different variations you need to consider when it comes to product improvement. So it's those three things are part of what we consider advanced machine engineering as part of that whole solution.
Thank you, Bill, for this highly informative discussion for this first podcast on advanced machine engineering and its competitive advantages. We are looking very forward to the next three in this series and as we dive deeper into the solution and why it's important that people take advantage of it.